Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 64 are Scott Henney.
Good evening, everybody.
Brad Coates.
Hello, everybody.
And Don Donfris.
Good evening, everybody.
Now, tonight, we're going to be talking about Walt Disney World shows and parades, talking about sort of those scheduled shows that take place in all four of the Walt Disney World theme parks. But before we get there, I do want to once again thank our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. We just got back. We're recording this as the first show I've recorded since getting back from the Diz Dads convention. It was a wonderful event. We had a great time. And once again, a big shout-out thank you to Suzanne Hayes and Fairytale Journeys that made that possible. We had a blast, and hopefully more of you will be able to join us next time. And while I finish taunting you with that, Scott, Brad, Don, let's get to talking about shows and parades. We had a bit of a discussion before we started recording here about, you know, what we were including in this discussion. And I think sort of the best way I've come up with to describe it is that tonight we're going to talk about those things that are scheduled entertainment, you know, things that you could look at a times guide and you could kind of plan as part of your day. So we're not so much talking about stumbling on a Jaminator show or, you know, a character meet and greet or something like that. And we're also not so much talking about things like, you know, Mickey's PhilharMagic or Enchanted Tiki Room. You know, those are really more kind of your theme park attraction things. The focus here really is on shows with an element of live entertainment in them. Agreed?
Agreed.
All right. And so with that in mind, I'm just going to start throwing this around and see, you know, what we all have on our minds when we talk about our favorite you know, shows and parades. And Scott, I'm going to ask you to go first and give us one of your favorite shows and parades.
Well, I kind of threw together a top five list here at the last minute.
Okay.
And my number five, I'm going to start at the bottom, is going to come in at Illuminations. You know, it's a good show. I think it's dated. It's nice to watch. The last trip that we went, we watched it from our balcony at Boardwalk, and it was really nice to watch from Boardwalk. But when you're there, I could almost lay down and fall asleep on a bench.
Oh, wow. Gee, I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on that.
No, but I think it's just dated, and it's not what it could be with what Epcot is becoming.
Okay, well, that's fair. I mean, I think we can all agree that, you know, the kind of show that Illuminations is, Disney has built on that, and we've seen what they've done in other theme parks, you know, building on what was the success of Illuminations, which is now a good, you know, 15 years old now? More?
Yeah,
it was changed around the millennium, I think.
Right, and yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
It's one of them things that they almost built the parks on Illuminations, but then they let Illuminations ride when they developed everything else.
Yeah. Do you think that part of the reason that it hasn't advanced is because of the pieces that they use, that they're not really the kind of thing that you can adapt or change too much? You just pretty much would have to redo the whole thing.
Well, I think there's certainly an element of, you know, there's some serious capital expenditure involved in, you know, redoing Illuminations, and it's still a beloved show. You know, I mean, we were there, you know, for the Diz Dads convention, and it was still on a relatively, you know, light crowd day. There was a good strong group of people around, you know, gathered around the lake there, you know, to watch the show. So I think it's one of those, they don't feel like they need to do it to draw people, which is kind of what happened with World of Color. You know, they needed a nighttime spectacular show for California Adventure as they, you know, wanted to make sure that that park grew the way they projected it growing with the other additions they were doing. You know, so it got World of Color. You know, Paris had some attendance issues, so it got you know, that new show, which is, I forget the name of it now, but it's an amazing show if you've seen any of the YouTube video of it. And so, you know, and I think both of those shows sort of extend the legacy of what Illuminations kind of started with, the laser lights involved with, you know, that and the fireworks and the fountains.
Fire techniques, yeah.
Right, everything all together. So, but I think it's fair to say that it's gotten dated, and I would say to counter that for me, the music for Illuminations is probably the best of the music for any of the fireworks shows.
I mean,
Oh yeah, totally. And the thing about it is the thing about Illuminations is not just the music, but you hear the music good anywhere you're at, and you can see it good anywhere you're at. That's really, you can't do that with any other show, I don't think, to the level you can with Illuminations. It sounds good everywhere, and it's great to watch everywhere. So,
yeah, I mean, it does have that advantage. And I think to some extent, again, those other shows, you know, learned from that and have built on it. So, you know, I think we all have to just kind of cross our fingers and hope that Illuminations gets its turn here soon, because it certainly do.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, and it's, I think part of it, too, like you said, though, with the cost, because they just rebuilt the fire barge. It was probably about 5 years ago or something, where they had an explosion on it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So they've already put out some money to keep it going. And now, you know, if they just junked it, they'd be out that.
Right, sure. Well, and
we could build it and set an avatar on fire. Maybe that would be the plan.
That's another topic for another show. Let's save that one. All right, so on that note, I'm going to put Brad on the hot spot and ask him to share one of his favorite shows or parades.
Well, I kind of went down through it and tried to pick a little bit from everything. And honestly, I think one of my favorite parades, maybe surprisingly to some, is Mickey's Jam and Jungle Parade over at we're at the Animal Kingdom.
I was wondering if that one would come up.
I don't know if it's just the colors or just the mechanical animals and the way that they work. They're so unique, and it's just a very different parade. I really enjoy that one.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Scott.
It's Don.
Oh, Don. Sorry.
I mean, I would agree. It's got a lot of energy. You know, you kind of really get caught up in it.
Yeah, definitely.
When you're watching it.
Yeah, and I think that it's easy to forget about Animal Kingdom when it comes to that kind of thing. You know, we think of parades and nighttime spectaculars, and I think you instantly think of every park except Animal Kingdom because of it not having those things after dark. But,
sure, yeah, no nighttime stuff. So.
Right, but that parade, that you know, Mickey's Jammin' Parade, really serves as the signature parade event, the signature show, for Animal Kingdom, and it, I think, holds up well.
Yeah, and, you know, Brad, you brought up a good point. Because Animal Kingdom doesn't have a nighttime spectacular, I think they really kind of go over the top or over what they needed to on this parade.
Yeah, you may be
because,
right.
Because, you know, I haven't sat down and watched the whole parade all the way through. We came out from a dining experience and saw it going on, and we stood there and watched the end of it, and it really struck me as odd that they would put that much into it, because it was a phenomenal parade for being a daytime parade that goes around. They did so much to it to draw so much attention to it.
Yeah.
It's almost like they were making up for that nighttime spectacular that they don't have at Animal Kingdom. And it's, you know, that was an honorable mention on my list, kind of because of that. You know, number one, I haven't seen the whole thing, and number two, Animal Kingdom doesn't have a nighttime spectacular.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting, too, that Animal Kingdom is the park that doesn't have a nighttime spectacular, but they have this, you know, afternoon parade that is a really strong parade, and they also have some of the strongest, I think, theater shows.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Of any of the parks.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that's here on my list is the Finding Nemo the musical show. which is on my list mostly just because it's so different and so I think refreshing. You know, they really extended themselves and pushed the envelope a little bit and tried something different. You know, doing giant puppets and taking a movie that wasn't a musical and, you know, making it into one. I think it's ambitious and they pull it off.
Absolutely. That's one of the sharpest shows out there.
You know, you look at the shows at Animal Kingdom that you brought up, Aaron, and you look at the fact that they're on Broadway. And that says something.
there you go. Yeah, we just had the chance to take my daughter for her birthday. They had brought the Lion King Broadway musical to Albuquerque. And so we went up to see the actual Broadway show. And that was just absolutely mind-blowing. It was an incredible experience. But anyway, that's another topic. But that's a good point. Those shows are so good. They're the ones you see.
Yeah,
on Broadway.
All right, so Don, what's one of the shows on your list?
I'd have to say the Fantasmic. Really enjoy that. I know it gets a bad rap because a lot of people compare it to Disneyland, but I've never seen one in Disneyland, so to me, it's one of the better nighttime shows for sure.
Yeah, I think Fantasmic sometimes gets a bum rap. I think it's another show that, you know, because it's been around for a long time, people kind of camp out on its flaws and try to find the weak spots. I mean, we just saw it again this past trip, you know, just about a week ago. And, we loved it. Granted, I think that it's one of those shows that is affected by weather a lot. We've seen it twice. We enjoyed it much more this time because we were sitting farther back. The first time we saw it, my wife, you know, didn't really know anything about it. She went in to save seats for us and save seats for us in like the third row.
Oh, in the wind.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Thinking that she was doing a really big favor for us, that this would be really cool. We'd get these seats right up close.
Yeah. Did you still have your eyebrows after that?
Well, it wasn't the eyebrows that was a problem. It's the wind, and we were right in front of one of those water screens.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you, I don't think my daughter was wetter after a ride on Cali River Rapids.
Right.
She was wearing that water screen by the end of the show.
Yeah. So, I mean, I always enjoy Fantasmic whenever we get a chance to see it. I think that's one of the better ones. And, you know, you talk about, like, you know, the weather, though. I mean, even Illuminations, if you happen to be downwind on a night when it's a pretty good breeze, man, you get smoked out on that.
That's true, too. That's true, too. And,
Fantasmic, it's funny that you bring it up. That, I kind of, like I said, put together a top five list. Fantasmic was tied at my number one, number two for shows at Walt Disney World. And the reason being, I've seen it three times on our last three trips. And the first time that we saw it, we did the dinner and a show deal that they have.
Right.
With the 50s Primetime Cafe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we got, when you do that deal, you get reserved seating. And then the second time we got really good seats. You know, we weren't third row, but we were center stage. And down there, probably in the bottom 10 rows. And then this last time that we went, we were just to left of center stage, but we were in the very back row because my father-in-law was in the handicap seat.
I was just going to say, that sounds exactly where we were sitting because my daughter was in a wheelchair this trip.
Yeah, and it was all three times. Fantasmic is one of those shows where you can watch it once and it puts you in awe. You can watch it a second time and you start to kind of see the storyline behind it. And this time, when we went in November and I watched it for the third time, there is a true storyline with it. And if you watch it enough times, it's really a very fun and interesting storyline that pans out with it.
Oh, definitely.
And it's, you know, that's what brought it into my tied for one and two because, you know, with everything that happens there, you sit down and you watch it once and it's overwhelming. But you watch it a couple of times and even get online and watch the show. And it's just a good show, good storyline. And you're right, there's weather, there could be weather affecting it and that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's just an intriguing the way that you can pick up something new every time you go.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's really what I was starting to get to with Fantasmic, is to say that, you know, of the three major nighttime spectaculars at Walt Disney World, it's the only one that really devotes itself to telling a story. There's a loose story at Wishes. There's a really more a progression than a story in Illuminations. Fantasmic has a story. It's got a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it takes you someplace.
I think Don makes a good point, because I think, don't you think, part of the problem for Fantasmic with people is that it gets a bum rap for those that have seen the Disneyland version. And so suddenly, because Disneyland's is so good, they think, well, Walt Disney's World isn't good. Honestly, I just got back from Disneyland, and if I was making a top shows for Disney, Disneyland would be cranking out the number ones and twos real quick. Their new shows are just off the charts good. But when you look at Fantasmic for what it is at Walt Disney World, you know, people complain about the seating for the meals, but really, there's really not a bad seat in that stadium.
Oh, no, there's not a bad seat in the house.
There isn't. I mean, so you get to sit. You get a great seat. If you want to get in early, you spend a little extra and have a great meal before you go. And it's just an excellent show. But I think it just gets a bum rap because you know, honestly, in my opinion, the Disneyland one is better, but it's for some different reasons. But that doesn't make Fantasmic at Walt Disney World a, you know, redheaded stepchild or something. It's a
right.
great show.
Sure. Yeah. Agreed.
I would argue that great meal part and say it's a good meal, but that's a different podcast.
I live in a tiny little town, and my standards are very low.
All right, Brad. Well, while you've got the mic, why don't you give us one of your favorites?
You know what? I think I'll stay over there since I was already in Animal Kingdom, and I'm going to give it some love. And besides that, you know, I got to get before noon. I got to get out of the park, so I got to cover them all quick. So, Festival of the Lion King. I really do like Finding Nemo, and like you, I love the way you said it, Aaron. The way they, to me, they're not puppets because they literally become a part of the person doing it, and it's just an amazing thing. But for me, hands down, if I have to pick between the two, I'm headed over to Festival of the Lion King. I just love the music, the energy, it just puts a smile on my face every time.
Definitely get a lot of energy in that show.
Yeah.
The acrobats are incredible.
It made it to Broadway. Enough said.
Enough said. Yep. And I have two ballerinas in my household too, so that helps too.
All right. And you know, another thing we should tell people, you know, if you're thinking about it, if you haven't seen this show yet, you definitely should go see it. There's a lot of talk that the show may be there's rumor out there that the show is going away completely. I think more likely what we're going to see is a hiatus for the show, because I think what's probably coming is that they're going to be moving that theater.
Right.
Because the Camp Minnie Mickey area where it is now is going to be, like it or not, is going to be the home of Avatar.
It's going blue, baby.
It's happening.
That's another podcast in itself.
Yeah, it is. It is. But if it...
Because we're on top five lists right now, so let's just...
Right. My point is, if the rumors are true and they seem to be reliable, the current group of Festival of the Lion King performers did not have their contracts renewed.
Right. That's what I heard too.
And if they didn't get their contracts renewed, that means there's probably no show. Now, okay. Again, chances are that what this is a hiatus while they relocate the theater. But in any case, if you want to see the show and if you want to make sure you get to see it, go soon.
Yeah, definitely. If you haven't seen that show, you need to go and see it. Don't miss it.
Yeah.
All right, so let's come back around to Scott and get another favorite from Scott.
I'm going to jump down a little bit and get away from the nighttime spectacular shows and get to the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Was wondering when that was going to come up.
Yep, that pops up on my list, and that pops up for a couple different reasons. Number one, when we went November, my son was about 10 months at that point, and just the music and the lights and everything are so phenomenal. You know, he was in awe, and that's about the best way to explain the whole deal is, you know, the work that they put into these and the choreographs that they put in, or the, I don't know if choreographs is the right word, but the work they put into the lights and the music and everything running together is just amazing. And then the other side of this is we have done the Keys to the Kingdom tour and got to see all these floats from the electrical parade back in their storage units. And it makes that parade much better to me to see those and see the storage and the way that they work and hear about how they work. I'm kind of an electrical guy to hear how the floats work and the lights work with the sound and all this stuff. It's just an amazing parade to see.
Yeah, and I think that Main Street Electrical Parade is another show that gets sometimes a bad rap for being an old show, but I think they've done a really nice job doing some kind of subtle updates that allow the show to still have that nostalgic feel for people who really appreciate that aspect of the show, but at the same time, they've done some nice updates. Shortly after they announced the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, sure enough, there were a couple of new floats featuring the Seven Dwarfs and, a mine car.
Oh, cool. That'll be neat.
That was – I thought it was great. It was nice to see that.
Hey, what's the problem with something being old? I'm 56 and I'm the biggest Disney geek on the planet. So you know what? It's okay to be old and keep around Disney, don't you think?
Well, it's certainly a classic. It's the one that set the standard for the.
It really is
nighttime parades.
It's funny you mention that because when I think of course, a lot of our first years on our trips, we've gone every year for the past 14 years since our youngest was 2 months old. We've made it a point to go every year at least one time. And first several years was Disneyland, and we'd always see the show when it was in California Adventure. Right. What they used to call it, though. It had a different name then. It was
that same show has always been – it was the Main Street Electrical Parade. Then they changed it and started calling it Disney's Electrical Parade.
That's right.
Technically, its name is now Disney's Electrical Parade, but to me, it's always been the Main Street
It'll
Electrical
be Main
Parade.
Street,
it always
exactly.
will.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always thought it was Main Street Electrical Parade.
Yeah. It is until you see that first float come by and you see in the lights that it now says Disney's Electrical Parade.
Well, I think
I'm
what happened.
I'm going to go look for a picture.
Yeah, because didn't they change it when they moved it from Disneyland over to California Adventure?
Because right,
it wasn't
because.
On Main Street.
Exactly. DCA doesn't have a Main Street.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
But what I was going to say was, of all the ones I remember with my kids, that's probably the one with the most fondest memories. Just watching the little Beatles running up to my kids and spinning around and.
Sure.
Fond memories.
Picture proves it. I misspoke. Number three or whatever it is on my list is Disney's Electrical Parade.
It's all right. As far as I'm concerned, it's still Main Street.
That's right. Let's take a vote.
All right, so Don, what about you?
As far as the shows, I'm going to get away from some of these bigger shows, and I would say the street entertainment in, especially like England, where they have
interesting
street shows. I mean, they're scheduled time,
right? The UK players,
yeah,
and to me. There's nothing, but, I mean, and boy, you get the right crowd with that, and your stomach will have cramps from laughing so hard at some of that stuff. And we always enjoy those a lot. And I've been picked a couple times to, sometimes they'll pick somebody from the audience to kind of help participate. It's a riot. Always enjoy those.
Yeah, it's nice to see. For a while there, it looked like that Streetmosphere stuff was just going to go away. It had been cut way, way back, and there were rumors it was going to go farther away. And I think it's really had kind of a renaissance lately. I noticed that this last trip when we were in Hollywood Studios, that we were seeing the Streetmosphere characters at Hollywood Studios were a lot more out and about and active than I'd seen them in the recent past. Even though it wasn't the most crowded time of the year. I understand that they've introduced some Streetmosphere characters in the new Fantasyland area as well. So they're even actually bringing in some new ones.
Yeah, to me, it's just, it's so relaxing. You can just sit there and kick back a little bit and, grab yourself a cocktail or so and enjoy it for a little bit.
Sure. Well, one of my favorites, and I always have a hard time with these in these top five lists because we're trying to pick out our favorite things. And some of my favorite things when it comes to shows and entertainment like this is are seasonal. Because both my favorite fireworks show and my favorite parade are from Halloween. I'm going to throw out here what is my favorite parade, and that's the Boo to You parade. Absolutely love it. It's only during the Halloween party, and I know that that makes it hard to put it on a top five list like this because, unless you pay for a party ticket, you're not going to see it. But to me, that and really the shows that go around it as well, but that show almost by itself is almost worth the price of the ticket. The Gravediggers are amazing. The Headless Horseman, who goes riding down Main Street, literally blind, because that costume has no eye holes. It's just a terrific show. All the villains in the parade, the music, every single element of it, it's just a fabulous parade. And, we will, if there's any chance that we're going to be at Walt Disney World at a time when there's a Halloween party, we're going to pony up the money for the party because it's just great entertainment.
Yeah, those are very good. Very good. Enjoy the Christmas one too. The marching soldiers at the Christmas, those are always fun too. But the Halloween party is definitely up there.
See, it's hard. It's hard for me because I look at those and speaking on behalf of those that live in the middle of the country, I'm 10 and a half hours away from Disneyland and I'm a plane ride away from Walt Disney World. And unfortunately with Halloween following when it does, it just doesn't work to take my kids. But I tell you what, I've got to figure out a way because every time I hear you guys talk about how incredible Halloween the party is, man, I that's one thing that's definitely on my bucket list. I've got to get out there and check out.
Well, something to remember is that they start those Halloween parties in, early September.
That's true. Wait a couple of years, they'll start them in June.
there are more opportunities than you might think. And, we've been once in mid-September and once in early October. And, that it can get harder to get a good place to see the parade as you get closer to Halloween because the parties sell out and get more crowded. But I still think it's well worth it. Just a terrific show.
Don, you compared the Christmas parade, which is still a phenomenal parade, honorable mention.
Mm-hmm.
But Aaron, I gotta agree with you. The Halloween parade. We went for the Christmas party. We went for the Halloween party, and then the following year we went for the Christmas party, and when we go back during a holiday time frame, it's going to be Halloween. Because not only do you get the Halloween party or the Halloween parade, but you get the show that goes with that Halloween party.
Yeah, see, now I was,
another show that's an honorable mention tonight.
Yeah, I was trying to decide whether the Villains Mix and Mingle was enough of a show to count separately.
I would bring that in. I mean, that show is amazing for what it is.
It's so much fun seeing those classic Disney villains that you don't even see in the park most of the time really take center stage. You know, the singing and dancing, and they always make an effort to include, you know, it seems to me that especially lately they make an effort to include, you know, one new villain. They'll pull one of the older ones out of the show and include.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, it's a mix and mingle show, so it's just that. It's not just a show. After the show, there's those villain meet and greets that you don't get any other time of the year.
Right.
Which could be another podcast in itself, but I got to say it.
True enough. All right. So, Don, why don't you kind of give us one or two more from your list as we kind of try and round them up?
Okay. I'll give you two. One is Off Kilter in Canada in the World Showcase.
Okay.
Those guys.
They're funny.
Literally rock. So.
Yeah, they do, man. They're fun.
You know, they're good, and they really get it. In fact, we've bought a couple of their CDs, you know, and really enjoy that. And the other would be Yeehaw Bob.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm.
Taking us out to the resort.
Yeah. You know, he's incredible. And the energy and the way he gets the crowd involved is just unbelievable.
I'm glad you mentioned him because, I hadn't even really been thinking about the resort side. And there are a number of those, you know, resort entertainers. He's probably the signature one, but there are a number of them. Okay, Scott, why don't you wrap up your list for us?
Wrapping up my list, I got a couple I'm going to just throw out here quick, and then one I'm going to hit on is the Move It, Shake It Parade at Magic Kingdom. Must see. It's just kind of one of them fun middle of the day type of deals. The Beauty and the Beast show at Hollywood Studios, my daughter's favorite. I couldn't go tonight without mentioning it.
I feel your pain, brother.
Yep. And then Wishes. I think we can't end tonight without talking about Wishes.
I'm surprised no one's said it yet.
It's,
because we're getting to the top of our list, and really
I've
you're feeding in,
my way
and
to it's going to be at the top. Yeah,
yeah. And so, you're feeding into what for me would be the top, which, as yep. we said, I've got a soft spot for the special holiday versions, and you know, to me, Hallowishes is the Wishes show the way it ought to be, you know, with the perimeter fireworks, with a little bit more storyline. I love that Hallowishes show, and it truly is spectacular fireworks. On the other hand, I can't complain about the Wishes fireworks themselves. You know, that show is great too. And from the time that we first saw Wishes at Walt Disney World, you know, fireworks anywhere else were pretty much ruined for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody can do it like Disney.
And you know, you bring up Hallowishes, so I'm going to kind of rank these because I've been to all of these also. Wishes comes in at number 3, Hallowishes comes in at number 2, and the Christmas Wishes show is
my
all-time favorite.
I'm with you.
yeah, I mean, yeah, all the like waiting favorite.
But I haven't seen Hallowishes.
Show,
so.
Period. Yeah. You know, and it doesn't just come down to the fireworks. Because, yes, the Christmas fireworks are better than the Halloween ones, which are better than the regular Wishes. But the castle show that they put with that is just...
Snow and everything, yeah.
Just phenomenal.
You know, just kind of by accident 2 years ago, we were planning a Disney Dream cruise, and we were going to go over Thanksgiving. And we said, well, let's just do a few days at Disney World. And we had never been to Disneyland or Disney World for the holidays because... I just don't like the crowds, and so it's like we've always avoided it. And I got to tell you, that trip ruined us. I think we will be going Christmas time. We went to Disneyland Christmas time this year. we will be doing Christmas somehow, some way, every. It is just an amazing experience, and definitely the fireworks are a big part of that. That whole, like you, I love the way you said it. The way it snows and it's tied in, and the lighting of the castle, and it's all just one incredible experience.
Yes, you know, the decorations kind of just decorate stuff, but the castle and the fireworks are just
and the music.
Like, you like Hallowishes, and I love Hallowishes, but Christmas time is by far 100 times better.
Brett,
we'll have to agree to disagree there.
Brett,
yes, and that's fine because I love Hallowishes too. I can't argue that.
Don, I'm sorry, you were trying to say something.
No, that's okay. I was going to ask Brad. He said he was at Disneyland for the holidays. Do they light the castle up the same way?
Yes, they do. They do. But honestly, it just wasn't as impressive, but it still was beautiful. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
it's different. It's just very different. Yeah, but they do. Uh-huh, absolutely. Has a whole lighting ceremony, probably half hour before the fireworks show.
Cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like when they flip the switch on the dream lights each night, too.
Yeah, kind of like that.
All right, well, you know, you've heard about our favorite Walt Disney World shows and parades. We'd love to hear from you about what some of your favorite shows and parades are. So send us an email at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. Or participate in the ongoing discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. Until next time, this has been Aaron Ripmaster with Scott Henney.
Good night, everybody. It's been fun.
Brad Coates.
Good night, everybody. Hey, this has been great. Thanks for letting me be a part.
And Don Donfries.
Night, everybody. Had a great time. Thanks.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.